These lilas or pastimes of the Lord are very pleasing to the heart, especially for those who have faith in the Lord's pastimes. For those who have no faith, it is explained throughout Chaitanya Bhagavad in many places. Every time there's practically some lila of the Lord, and Chaitanya Bhagavad is filled with lilas. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he gives a benediction. And he says, anyone who hears this pastime with faith will certainly dance in Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. Or anyone who hears this pastime of Lord Chaitanya with Haridas Thakur with faith will certainly be an associate of the Lord and take part in his lila. So many places he refers to those devotees who have faith in the Lord. And the actual pastime that we're reading from today is the story about faith. It's the story about Mukunda Das and the deep faith he had in the words of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that for those who are faithless, and they will not be able to attain the Supreme, for the doubting soul is neither happiness in this world or in the next. And in the commentary to that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the three types of persons are referred to in this verse. The Agya, the Shraddhana, Ashraddhana, and the doubting soul. I forget the Sanskrit. Samsaya. So he says here's the foolish person who's compared to be like the animal. They have no faith in the scriptures. He says here, and then those who are faithless, they may know the scriptures, but when they read the scriptures, they see that there's inconsistencies between what one person says or another person says, or one statement and another statement. And when they see the inconsistencies, then they have no faith in the scriptures, although they may know something from the scriptures. And then he says, then the third type of category is the doubter. The doubter is one who has a little faith, but when he sees these particular stories from scriptures, he says, yes, they're nice, but they don't apply to me. So he's always doubting. He's thinking, yes, this is for some other Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated soul, or for some other highly advanced devotee, but it has nothing to do with me. So therefore Krishna says, for the doubting soul, there's happiness neither in this world or in the next. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that even the fool who has no faith, even a fool can have some happiness, material happiness. But for the doubting soul, he cannot have any material happiness because he has some faith in scripture. And he can't have happiness in the next world either. So he can't have spiritual happiness either because he's always doubting. So, when we hear these pastimes of the Lord, you know, we should understand that the Lord does many times he displays these pastimes to show us for our benefit. Like even this particular pastime of Mukunda Das, the pastime we're going to read from tonight. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur explains that this is lila. The Lord is going to heavily chastise Mukunda Das for something that you'll hear about tonight. But Mukunda Das is an eternal associate of the Lord. And although the Lord is chastising him for something, he's actually just doing it to show how his devotee always conquers him by his surrender, by his love. Mukunda Das won't fail because he's an associate of the Lord. Just like, I think yesterday, Piyari, is he not here? He's not here. We were reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat. We were reading a different lila. I won't go to tell the whole leave. If I tell the whole leave, it'll be the whole lecture. We won't read about Mukundata. But essentially, the Leela was when Lord Chaitanya was a young child. He was quite mischievous. He had many mischievous pastimes, just like Krishna had many mischievous pastimes. And this one particular pastime, Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He asked his mother to please bring the ingredients for him to perform puja. He wanted to offer puja to the goddess Ganga. And he was going down to take his bath, and he asked for a garland of some sandalwood oil. And Sachimata said to Lord Chaitanya, said, "Yes, just one second, I will bring." And as soon as Lord Chaitanya heard, "I will bring," as a young child, he could be short-tempered. He became very angry. He didn't want to wait for her to bring it. He wanted it right away. She became very angry, and he went into the house and he started destroying everything in the house. He started taking all the pots and breaking up all the pots. Anything that could be called a container was broken. And the rivers of ghee started. And this was after Jagannath Misra had departed from the world. And even when Jagannath Misra, Lord Chaitanya's father, was on the planet, both the whole family, they lived in abject poverty, actually. It was part of the opulence of the Lord's Leela. How they lived in poverty. Jagannath Misra was a very simple, learned Brahmin, but was not very wealthy. And even when the astrologer came and gave an astrological prediction for young Nimai as a child, Jagannath Misra came and fell at his feet and clasped the astrologer's feet and begged his forgiveness because he was so impoverished that he couldn't even give him a donation for his astrological prediction. So they were living in poverty, and whatever they had in the house took some effort to accumulate it. Lord Chaitanya, in this one fit of anger, destroyed everything in the house. And when he finished destroying everything in the house, he didn't stop there. He started destroying the house. He started knocking down the walls. He knocked down the roof. He was banging it. Then he went out into the yard. And then he started smashing the ground, smashing the tree. And finally, when finished with his temper tantrum, he lay down on the ground, fell asleep, and entered into yoga nidra. And at that moment, Sachimata, she came and she wiped all the dust off from the Lord's body. And she said, "Yes, now I have..." She hid most of the time while Lord Chaitanya was doing this. And then she said, "Here's the garland, here's the sandalwood oil. I'm sorry you had to wait for it." And then Lord Chaitanya took the ingredients and went down to Ganga and took his bath. And then she began cleaning up everything in the house. And when the young Nimai returned, she said, "Nimai, why did you do this?" And she didn't show the slightest disturbance. The only thing she was disturbed about is that she considered that everything that was in the house belonged to Nimai. And she asked him, "Why did you destroy all of your own ingredients? Why did you do this?" And after we read this whole Leela in the car, Piyari was asking, what was the purpose behind this Leela? Why would Lord Chaitanya do something like this? And Acharyas explained that actually it was to demonstrate Sachimata's love, her unalloyed love. She was not in the least bit disturbed. She just cleaned everything up, and not only that, but she didn't think, "Why do I have to clean up this? Everything on my side." No, this is no encouragement for you boys, okay? This is Leela. There's a difference between the Lord's Leela and our Leela. The Lord Leela has a Leela, and he's showing something. He's showing the purpose. So he was showing the selflessness of Sachimata. She was so selfless. That she was not the least bit disturbed by his utter destruction. And she only anxiety that she had, she says, now how will I cook for you? And Lord Chaitanya said, young Nima said, don't worry, Mata. He says, the Lord always takes care of his devotees. He will provide something. And then there's more to that Leela, but if I keep on going, we'll never get to Mukunda. So the point is, you know, that for those who have faith, when they hear these Leelas of the Lord, they should not think. For the doubting soul, they'll never have happiness either in this life or the next. They think, this is just Leela, but what's it got to do with me? But why did the Lord display such Leelas? For us, also. Not for his pure devotees, of course, they experience unlimited bliss with, and the Lord with his devotees. That is there, the Lord enjoys with his devotees. But that goes on in the spiritual world. Why does he have to come to this world to do it? For us. It's to show us that yes, you know, when we have unalloyed love for the Lord will reciprocate in the same way as the Lord reciprocates with his eternal associates who descend with him to display these leelas. So they are relevant to our lives, and we should never think that it's impossible for us to actually participate in the Lord's leela. What to speak of, every time we hear these leelas, we hear the benedictions from the Lord's associates whose words, the Lord's, will always prove to be true. In fact, the very first line I was going to read from tonight, it makes the statement, smiling and smiling, Lord Chaitanya, who makes true his devotees' words, granted every boon. That was the very first line I'm going to start reading from. But whenever the devotee makes a statement, the Lord will always make the devotee's statement true. And Vrindavan Das Thakur makes so many statements about anyone who hears these pastimes with faith will dance with the Lord, will sing with the Lord, will see the Lord face to face. All these boons, these benedictions, just hearing them with faith. Such is the importance of having faith in the pastimes of the Lord. Like that simple story, I can't remember where it's from, one of Prabhupada's thin books about the cobbler and the Brahmin. And when Narada Muni was going to Vaikuntha, and on his way to Vaikuntha to see Vaidarayan, he saw, first he came upon a Brahmin, and the Brahmin asked him where he's going, and Narada says, I'm going to see the Lord. So the Brahmin thought, well, I should take advantage, Narada's going to see the Lord in Vaikuntha. When you're there, will you ask him a question for me? Ask him when I'll get my salvation. And then Narada continued his journey, and he came across the cobbler. And the cobbler also asked the same question, when you go there, please ask the Lord when I'll get my salvation. Narada Muni went to Vaikuntha planets, he saw the Lord, and then before departing, he asked the Lord, he said, on my journey here, I came upon a cobbler and a Brahmin. They both asked, when will they get their salvation? And the Lord said, well, the Brahmin, he'll have to wait many births. He said, but the cobbler, after this life, he will come back to me. Narada was asking, why is it the Brahmin will have to wait many births? He said, you will understand. When they ask you what I was doing here, you simply tell them, I was threading an elephant to an eye of a needle. So then Narada Muni returned, and he came across the Brahmana first. And the Brahmana said, oh, you're coming from Vaikuntha, you saw my Vaidarayan. And Narada said, yes. And he said, what was he doing? He said, he was threading an elephant to an eye of a needle. And the Brahmana said, what? He couldn't accept. How can you say such a thing? Threading an elephant up to an eye of a needle. And he asked, did you ask him if I'll get my salvation? And Narada Muni could understand now. He said, yes, you'll have to wait many births. And he could understand because the Brahmin had no faith in the Lord. But when he came across the cobbler, this cobbler also asked him the same question. He said, you saw the Lord, and the simple cobbler asked him what he was doing, and Narada Muni said he was treading an elephant for an eye of a needle. And when the cobbler heard this, he was, oh, how wonderful. And he became so thrilled, ecstatic, to hear such a wonderful pastime of the Lord taking an elephant and passing it through an eye of a needle. He had so much faith. And Narada Muni could immediately understand how, because he had so much faith that this Brahmin would, I mean, the cobbler would get salvation in this life. He'll go back to Godhead. And he asked the cobbler, how is it you could so easily accept? And the cobbler simply reached down from the ground and he picked up one seed from the banyan tree. This is just not such a difficult thing to understand. If my Lord can put a whole tree in this tiny little seed, then it's not so difficult for him to put an elephant to a higher than needle. So in this way, you know, Papa tells this story, you know, that there's some basis of having faith. And it was not blind faith, but one can see that, yes, in that tiny little seed is a huge tree. And how difficult. And if one has faith that the Lord has arranged this within creation, then why cannot the Lord arrange passing an elephant to an eye or a needle? Not such difficult. So this, Prabhupada tells this story to illustrate the point about faith. So now we'll read a little something about Mukunda's faith. And this took place, this pastime took place in the, what's called the Shatta Prahariya Bhava. It was Lord Chaitanya's pastime to the ecstasy of 21 hours. And during this ecstasy of 21 hours, Lord Chaitanya was manifesting what is called the Mahaprakash Lila, where he manifested himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Usually Lord Chaitanya, who appeared in the mood of a devotee, was always extremely humble, and he would always display humility, even eager to render service to all the Vaishnavas. Sometimes he would even take their cloth and ask them, beg them to wash it. And if they wouldn't even allow them, he would steal their cloth and wash their clothes for them. He always, that was his humility and his mood as a devotee. And always very eager to take the dust from the feet of his devotees and glorify his devotees, as if he had hundreds of mouths, he would simply speak and glorify his devotee. But during this Shatta Prahariya Bhava, Lord Chaitanya went into an ecstasy where he actually displayed his divinity. And he stood up on the altar, and for 21 continuous hours he displayed himself as the Supreme Lord. And what did he do as the Supreme Lord? He called each and every one of his devotees before him and asked them, what benediction would you like me to fulfill? Please ask for anything. And devotees, they would come and they would express their hearts, innermost hearts, desires. And one by one, the Lord revealed how he was going to fulfill each and everyone's desires according to whatever was there within their heart. So, these various benedictions had already taken place. And then, as states right here, other devotees asked blessings for their disciples, children, wives, and servants. Someone said, may I have devotion for my spiritual master? This way everyone asked for a boon, whatever they thought appropriate. Smiling and smiling, Lord Chaitanya, who makes true his devotees' words, granted every boon. All this while, Mukunda was outside, hiding behind a curtain. Mukunda did not have the power to come before Lord Chaitanya. The great devotee Mukunda was dear to everyone. Everyone thought well of him. When he sang in kirtan, Lord Chaitanya always listened. Why was he being punished by the Lord? No one knew. The Lord did not call for him, so he had no power to come. In other words, Lord Chaitanya was calling everyone, come, come, no, you come. Every one of them asked, what benediction do you want? But because he didn't call Mukunda, Mukunda had no power to come. He's thinking, if he's not calling me, there must be some reason he's not calling me. So therefore he just stayed, hidden behind the curtain, waiting for the Lord. The Lord knew he was there, but he didn't call. So he didn't go. So, the Lord did not call him, so he had no power to come. When the devotees saw this, sadness was born in their hearts. Shiva said, O Master of the Universes, please listen. How did Mukunda offend you? Mukunda is dear to you. To us, he is our life and soul. Who, hearing Mukunda's singing, does not melt? He is diligent in devotional service. He is respectful to all. Without seeing an offense in him, you have put him in disgrace. If he has committed an offense, then punish him. Why do you reject your servant and send him far away? This is a very important point. I oftentimes have to explain this principle. Sometimes if you have to correct somebody, somebody thinks if you've corrected them, then they've been rejected. But in the past times of the Lord, there's so many examples of being punished by the Lord, which is a display of the Lord's love for the devotee. Because if the Lord punishes somebody personally, it means he loves them. Because he's thinking of them, he's caring for them. He doesn't neglect them. Right? So sometimes he may punish his devotee. In fact, there's a whole pastime of Advaita Acharya. He was often respected by Lord Chaitanya because Advaita Acharya was a disciple of, or he was a godbrother of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwar Puri. Advaita Acharya and Ishwar Puri, they were both disciples of Madhavendra Puri. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya considered Advaita Acharya to be equal to his spiritual master because they were godbrothers. So he always respected him. But Advaita Acharya always considered himself a servant of the Supreme Lord. So he didn't like being treated as a superior to Lord Chaitanya. So he devised a plan so the Lord would punish him. And he started preaching from Yoga Vishishta, Mayavad philosophy. And when he started preaching Mayavad philosophy, he was doing it in great ecstasy. Because he was thinking, when the Lord hears me preaching like this, certainly he'll come and he'll show everybody that I'm his servant. And the Lord did. The Lord came and grabbed him, pulled him, and started beating him. And Sitarani Thakur was saying, oh, he's an old man, please, don't listen to him too hard. And the way to try was being pulled on the ground, a big smile on his face, in ecstasy. So now, my Lord has accepted me as his servant. He's punished me. So in other words, to be punished is not a sign of rejection. It's a sign of great fortune. And that's why the devotees are saying, why are you neglecting him? If he's done something wrong, punish him. But why neglect him? Everyone loves his kirtan. He loves you so much. You love him. Whenever you hear his kirtan, whenever you hear him singing, your heart melts. Our heart melts. Why haven't you called him? So that's what they're saying. So he said, why do you reject your servant and send him far away? If you do not call for him, he cannot come before you. Oh Lord, please allow him to see you. Please say that he has permission. Maharaj, would you like to say something?
A little bit more you speak and then
I'll say something. Then Lord Chaitanya said, never speak like that to me. Don't plead that wretched person's case to me. The words you have heard, sometimes he takes up a blade of grass, and sometimes he takes up an iron mace applied to Mukunda. You don't know the truth about him. One moment he has a blade of grass between his teeth. Humility, take a stride. If you feel yourself to be lower than a blade of grass, you put a blade of grass between your teeth. That's a sign. Right? Lord Chaitanya says one should think himself to be lower than a straw on the street. So the way to become lower than a straw on the street is when you come before your superior, you take a straw, you prostrate yourself, hold dandavat, and you hold the straw up with your teeth. So Mukunda, sometimes he takes a blade of grass in his teeth and he feels to be very humble. But sometimes he has a mace and he's striking it, an iron mace. Says one moment he has a blade of grass between his teeth, and the next moment he attacks me with an iron mace. I will not look at that fellow holding a blade of grass and an iron mace. Very eloquent Srivas again said, who is qualified to understand your powers? We did not see any fault in Mukunda. The fact that your lotus feet made him fearless is a witness that testifies in his favor. Then Lord Chaitanya said, wherever he goes, that wretch talks like the people he meets. When he is with impersonalists, he talks the impersonal philosophy of Vasishta. You look like that. I've got something that you want to speak about. Huh?
No, I'm just personal. Okay.
And when he is with the devotees, he places a blade of grass between his teeth and he sings and dances. So Lord Chaitanya is saying, essentially what he's saying is, the reason why I'm neglecting this Mukunda is he goes to different satsangs. Sometimes he's with devotees, and he hears, and when he's with devotees, he places a blade of grass between his teeth, he sings very nicely. Sometimes he goes to the impersonals and he hears their philosophy. And when he hears their philosophy, he also speaks like they do and denies the glories of devotional service. It'll expand on this a little more. When he is with people of other sampradayas, he does not glorify devotional service. In this way, again and again, he attacks me with an iron mace. To these people, he says, there is nothing better than devotional service. In this way, again and again, he attacks me with an iron mace.
He actually went and... Is Lord Chaitanya just reacting because he just went around and listened to different, you know, philosophies? Or was he actually...
As explained by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in his commentary to this verse in the Tika, he said that previously he heard from other sampradayas. Previously. Although previously he had heard from other sampradayas, it was lila. It was not, you know, that he was pronouncing devotional service. But he would go to other sampradayas and hear from them. And we say other sampradayas, we're talking about not also those sampradayas which decry devotional service to the Lord, especially those, the impersonalists, who deny the personal feature of the Lord. They deny that the Lord is a person, and they say that ultimately one takes up the process of chanting Hare Krishna in order to merge into the impersonal absolute. They don't accept the eternality of devotional service to Krishna. And anyone who does not accept the eternality of devotional service to Krishna, that means they think there's something greater than service to Krishna in the spiritual world. Therefore, their aspiration is they want to merge, they want to become one with God, because merge and become one means there's no service. Therefore, they think, they diminish, they decry the glories of devotional service, and they say merging into the impersonal aspect is superior. And when the devotee of the Lord hears that, especially Lord Chaitanya, he's come to preach the glories of devotional service. When they hear that, it's painful. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, this is beating me with a mace, an iron mace. I exist for devotional service. Devotional service is eternal. The Lord is eternal. And he's always eternally engaged in loving devotional exchanges with his eternal devotees. And that is his eternal pastime, which goes on eternally, without cessation, without any... This is his eternal lila. There's nothing higher for the Lord. There's nothing greater. So to decry devotional service, to say there's something higher than devotional service, is like putting an iron mace on Lord Chaitanya and beating him over the head. And that's why he's saying this. He has committed an offense to devotional service. Therefore, he cannot see me. Staying outside, Mukunda heard everything. He heard the words, he cannot see me. Previously, by his guru's order, Mukunda did not think highly of devotional service. Lord Chaitanya knew all this. That is Lord Chaitanya's great power. Great devotee Mukunda thought in his heart, it is not right for me to keep this body alive. I should at once leave this offensive body. When will I see the Lord again? I don't know. He was speaking at this point, you know, Lord Chaitanya is punishing me. He's refusing to accept me in his association. Why should I even live? He's thinking himself to be so fallen. And in this way that he thought, better I give up this body. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, look, I didn't do much. Why are you picking on me? So many others, they also, we didn't know, you weren't here to describe the glories of devotional service. You didn't manifest your lila yet, No, he didn't, nothing. He was thinking, the Lord is punishing me. He felt himself to be unqualified and unworthy to even go on living because he had offended the Lord. And then it was, if I can't see the Lord, why should I even keep this body alive? Then Mukunda openly said, listen, Shivas, please ask the Lord when I will see him again. Again and again, Mukunda shed tears from his eyes. Because of Mukunda's suffering, all the devotees wept. Lord Chaitanya said, after 10 million births, he will see me again. This there is no doubt. Hearing these words from the Lord's mouth, Mukunda became splashed with bliss. What do you make of that one, Harijan? Why is he feeling so blissful? 10 million births.
He's feeling so blissful because at least Dorothy Tennant's going to let him see him.
Uh-huh. Yes. That's right. He said, after 10 million births, you will see me again. Of this, there is no doubt. Hearing these words from the Lord's mouth, Mukunda became splashed with bliss. Calling out, I will, I will. He danced wildly. Mukunda, a true servant of the Lord, was overcome with love. With his ears hearing the words, he will see. Mukunda danced in bliss. Seeing Mukunda, Lord Chaitanya laughed and said, bring Mukunda at once. All the Vaishnavas called out, bring Mukunda! Bring Mukunda! Overcome with bliss, Mukunda was not aware of anything. He was running around, his hands flailing in the air, saying, I will see, I will see. He couldn't even get his attention. He kept on calling, Mukunda, Mukunda, come on! Now, all the Vaishnavas called up, bring Mukunda, overcome with bliss. Mukunda was not aware of anything. The Lord said, Mukunda, your fence is now destroyed. Come, look at me. Take my mercy. By the Lord's order, everyone went. We picked up Mukunda and carried him there. Seeing the Lord, Mukunda at once fell down before him. The Lord said, rise, rise, Mukunda. You do not have even half a sesame seed worth of an offense to me. Your fault of associating with bad people is now destroyed. Now you have conquered me. When I said the words, after 10 million births, he will see me again. In half a sesame seed's worth of time, he destroyed all your offenses. You had full faith in my words. By that faith, you have made me eternally a prisoner in your heart. Lord Chaitanya says this a lot to his devotees. Prisoner. You've made me a prisoner. It's just like there's a prayer about how Lord Krishna, how he's a thief. And a thief deserves to be punished. Because the Lord is a thief. He steals so many things. He steals the hearts of his devotees. But most of all, he steals the hearts of his devotees. Sometimes he puts his devotees in difficult situations. He takes everything away from them and leaves them with nothing. And therefore, he says, but when the Lord does this, he's so merciful, so kind to me, because he leaves me nothing but him. That's all I have is him. He said, therefore, in this prayer that the devotee is praying, therefore, there is a, what kind of punishment should be given to a thief? A thief is normally punished. So therefore, he says, I'm going to punish the Lord. I'm going to punish you for your thievery, and I'm going to take you and bind you, and tie you with ropes of my love in my heart, and keep you a prisoner within my heart. And so many culprits will come again and again, but I'll never let you out of my heart. This is the proper punishment for a thief such as you. So the Lord is reciprocating by saying, yes, I'll stay in your heart. I'll remain eternally a prisoner in your heart because of your love, your devotion to me. You are my singer. Stay in my association. I enjoy talking and joking with you. Even if you commit 10 million offenses, those offenses are not really offenses, for you are very dear to me. Your body is filled with devotional service. You are my servant. I always stay on your tongue. Hearing these reassuring words from the Lord, Mukunda wept, to rebuke himself, to describe himself as a fool. Would you like to comment? Well, that's actually the Leela.
That's the Leela.
Yeah. There's still just prayers, but they're quite long.
Well, I think one interesting point is the how a spiritual in his faith, like you explained at the beginning, how faith I think you mentioned at the beginning, this voice mentioned how faith allows us to appreciate devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of the story of Narada Muni when he took some prasada. There's one verse that said he took prasada once, but he took it with such faith because he was humble and all his sins were destroyed. So I was thinking how powerful God is and the things that are manifest and how part of the effect depends on our receptivity, and that receptivity is faith. The same thing with the holy name. Different people chant at different levels of faith, but if one has full faith just chanting once is versus just you know, all perfection comes. Or even in the Bhagavatam, the second verse mentions if one just hears the Bhagavatam once, the same word was there, that Krishna becomes a prisoner in your heart. So it seems that this deep appreciation and faith born of humility allows us to have the full benefit of the. But I'm still kind of, I realize, but why, I mean, why does he think? It's like 10 million births?
The way,
I mean, why is he so happy?
He's so happy because he considers himself, as he describes in his prayers, he considers himself to be so unworthy of the opportunity to ever see him again. Because he feels he has no devotional service. He feels that his devotional service is equivalent to like a pile of ashes, is the way he describes it. And therefore, because of his total humility, he feels that, what qualification do I have of ever getting the mercy of seeing the Lord again?
So if he wasn't humble, he would feel himself deserving and qualified in thinking, well, you know, why 10 million? Why not 1 million? Why not next life? Why not 3 days? But because he was very humble,
he thought
that this was mercy. Where if you're not humble, you won't appreciate it.
Yeah.
You would think
you'll
like,
start calculating.
Calculate. And if not only humble, but he really valued it if you're going to wait that long. I mean, if someone told me, okay, he owed me some money, he said, okay, I'll give you in 3 days, I'll give you a dollar. You know, I would say, yeah, I'd be very upset. Or 1 year I'll give you a dollar. He said, I'll give you, $10. Be upset. If he says $1,000, okay. If he tells me $1 million, I'll give you $2 million, you know. So it just seems that he valued it so much. I mean, I think that's like, Satchinanda was talking about prayers, that they first glorify, they appreciate so much, and then they themselves feel so unqualified that they really feel it is mercy. Where, you know, I get the holy name today, I would feel like, wow, I got it, the holy name, Hare Krishna. But because I don't realize the glory of it, and I think, you know, I'm so deserving, you know.
That's the essence of a devotee's qualification for achieving perfection in Kali Yuga. The essence is his total feeling, like Rupa and Sanatan. When Rupa and Sanatan came before Lord Chaitanya, they placed straw between their feet, they found on the ground, and they thought themselves to be lower than Jagaya Madhai. You know, and they declared themselves, because they were servants of persons who were, they were killing animals and killing others, you know, that therefore they were far more degraded than Jagaya Madhai. They made a slight offense, but compared to the offenses we've committed, you know, and because they thought themselves to be so fallen, so, and that's the symptom of Kali Yuga, the lower than Jagais and Madhais. And when Lord Chaitanya heard Rupa and Sanatana speaking this way, he told him, he said, please stop speaking this way, your humility is breaking my heart. In other words, it's what melts the heart of the Lord, is to feel that I don't have any qualification other than my hope for your mercy. I live only for that. As soon as we think we have some qualification, you know, like the brahmachari who was thinking he was qualified to enter into Lord Chaitanya's kirtan because he was renounced and he only ate a little fruit and drank a little milk, and he thought because of his renunciation, he said that I have qualification to enter and to see the kirtan that's going on every night in Srivas Thakur's. And he approached Srivas Thakur regularly and he put his qualifications on the table. He said, why can't I go? So he put his qualification, that finally Srivas relented and let him take part in the kirtan. And then Lord Chaitanya stopped in the middle of the kirtan and said, somebody in this house is not qualified to see this kirtan, because they didn't have unflinching faith and total humility. And then what happened? When Lord Chaitanya, as soon as Lord Chaitanya made that statement, then Srivas had to say something, because he was the one that left the brahmachari in the kirtan. He said, yes, you can stay in the kirtan, but you have to hide. So he made a statement in his defense. He said, yes, but he's a simple brahmachari that only eats a few roots and nuts and drinks a little milk. And Lord Chaitanya screamed out. He said, what qualification does he have to see my kirtan? Is it because he's a milk drinker? Does he think he's not qualified? And he began chastising. And the brahmachari was hearing all this. He was hiding. And he came out from hiding and he realized. And he was in his heart, he was thinking, how much mercy I could chastise. The Lord was so kind, he allowed me to see much this much now. But he was thinking himself, be very fallen. And in his heart, he was thinking, I should leave immediately. But because in his heart, he accepted the Lord's chastisement as his mercy. And he was thinking, the Lord, being as good as the all-pervasive super soul, knew what was happening in the heart of the brahmachari, and he told him, stop, come back. He was on his way out the door, but he said, no, you come back. And as he came back, he called him, and Lord Chaitanya placed his lotus foot on his head and said, never think again that simply because of austerities alone you can achieve my pleasure. He said, he gave the example that even a low-born dog-eater, if he is fully accepts me and takes shelter of me, he will achieve all perfection. But even a sannyasi who has no faith in me will never achieve perfection for millions of births. But because you have taken shelter in me. So he accepted that brahmachari, because the brahmachari gave up his feelings of qualification on his own merit, and realized that his only qualification was the mercy from the Lord. So that's how I understand it. That in this age, specifically, in Kali Yuga, where Manda Sumanda Mati Yomata Bhagavu Hupadita, you know, where in this age where men are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, above all, always disturbed, short-lived, but this Kali Yuga is an ocean of all bad faults. But this one redeeming quality is that in this age, if one takes shelter of the Lord and calls out helplessly in full dependence, with a child crying for his mother, totally helpless and calling out for the Lord who delivered such a person because of his submission, surrender, and his total humility. And therefore it is stated that the Lord Chaitanya's instructions were given in the Shikshastika, Trinadapi Sunichana Torahivashana, Malina Mali Dinatri, that in order to be able to chant the holy name of the Lord, one has to take himself to be lower than the straw on the street, devoid of all sense of all false prestige, ready to offer all respects to others. In such a humble state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. My understanding is that that's what Mukunda displayed. Mukunda displayed that he felt himself totally unqualified, unworthy, and of ever seeing the Lord again. So, therefore, if the 10 million births, what is in comparison to never seeing him again? It was an ecstasy. Because he was going to see him again. And because he had such faith in the words of the Lord, the Lord called him immediately and gave him that. And the next moment, reduced 1 million years to 1 moment. And these, as we said in the beginning, these pastimes, that anyone who has faith in these pastimes, if they have faith, if we're to be the continuous doubting souls, the doubting soul, as we read in the commentary from the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they'll have happiness either in this life or in the next life. Because they'll think, what's this got to do with me? But the Lord doesn't think that way, and therefore the Lord uses his devotees to display such pastimes for our benefit, so that we should actually develop the same mood of understanding that my only qualifications somehow or other that I've had an opportunity to hear such pastimes of the Lord. My only qualification is somehow that I've gotten an opportunity to come in contact with the holy name of the Lord. Other than that, I have no qualification for pleasing or satisfying the Lord. And if we take the humble position and take the gift that the Lord has given us in the form of the holy name, in the form of the association of devotees of the Lord, hearing the pastimes of the Lord, we see these as such valuable gifts and we relish them and treasure them and hold on to them very dearly, accepting that we're totally dependent upon these gifts, then the Lord, he delivers his devotee from the repetition of birth and death. He delivers him from all the reactions of sinful life. Those who are faithful. So faith is very important criteria for advancing in devotional service. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.